accession number 22098, Reel 1.
Reel 1, Side A, Mr. Ernest Grant. Can you give me your full name and your date of birth, please?
Full name, Ernest Grant, 17th of January, 1917.
And where were you born?
Born in London, I think. I can't remember. I wasn't aware of the circumstances.
All right. And what did your family do? What did your father do?
My father was in the army when I was born. He never got out of the army.
Right.
He died. He's buried in France.
He was killed in the First War, was
yes.
he?
Yes.
Do you know where?
Somewhere I've got a record of it, but I don't know.
So, when you were born and you were living in London, what is your first memory?
My first memory. Very difficult to think of this. I remember going to school. I was about 5 or 6. And I remember walking down the road, going into the park, and coming home without my shoes.
And where were you at school?
Can't remember. Victoria Park Road, I think it was.
This was in London still?
In London, yes.
So, can you describe your education?
My education was very simple and straightforward. And I eventually got a scholarship at 13 to go to a secondary school. And then I carried on with that until I went out to, I got a job, or yes, a job was got for me, a job of work, when I was 16, or 15, 16, after having matriculated. And I worked in the city, for initially as a clerk, then as an assistant company secretary. I took company secretary examinations, but didn't take the final, because the war came and I went into the army. So at least I expected to go into the army then, but quite quickly, but wasn't called up till sometime in 1941, I think it was.
Why did you choose to work in the city? What made you do that?
I don't know. I had a feeling that if one was a hard worker, results can come. Good results can come back to you. Involved doing a lot of studying at night, doing examinations, and I never finalised. I was called up before I finalised.
And which company did you work for?
Can't remember the name of the company.
No problem. And when did you first become aware that there might be a war?
Oh, probably 1930s. The point about it being that everybody realised that Hitler was not going to stop what he was doing, and therefore we would have to be ready eventually to resist.
And did you join the Territorial Army or anything like that?
No, I didn't join the army. I wanted to take my examinations before I joined the army, and I think I was called up in 1941, somewhere about that date, that year.
What was your reminiscence of when war was declared? How did you react to that?
When war was declared, our reaction at those in that time was that eventually that everybody would be involved, and we would have to do our part. I'd like to get into the army as quickly as I can, but I prefer the navy. For some reason or other, navy was a senior service. I remember going down to the embankment. There was a ship there where they had what was it called? Oh, I forget. Where you went on board and enrolled. I went on board this ship on a Sunday morning after having been given a lift down into town and taken a local bus. And as I got on board, a voice shouted out, "What do you want?" I said, "I want to join up." He said, "Get off this ship." I said, "There's a war on." He said, "Get off this ship. If we want you, we'll tell you." And that was my result of that. I went to the RAF that evening in the West End. There was an Army Air Force unit having a dance. And when I went up there, I thought I'd enlist. The officer in charge said to me, "Who do you know?" I said, "I don't know anybody. I'm just an ordinary common man." He said, "Oh, well, if you don't know anybody, I'm afraid you can't get in here." Which amazed me, the way the reactions to certain people, that the war was not real. But eventually I was called up. I didn't enlist, I was called up.
After the outbreak of war, how closely did you follow the events in France?
Well, I followed the events because I was quite interested in history as such. And my father had been in the previous World War. And I hoped to avoid being shot down in the same way as he was. When I say we were closed down, as he was killed. When I didn't know him. I was only a year old when he died.
Were you in London during the Blitz?
Part time, yes. I lived in London with my mother and family.
And
determined to do the things, the right things as they are required. I wasn't going to enlist early, I was going to wait to be called up. And see how things went.
And what was your mother's view of you joining the army?
I can't remember, but she had no option. So I think she was a realist.
So you were called up then in 1941. Can you describe what happened?
Yes, I went. I can't remember where I went, but. Went to a local place for an interview. There were a few of us lined up, and we were told what was going on, and left our names and addresses, and we all said what we wanted to do, although we were advised that it would not be possible to just go according to the requirements of an individual. One had to feel fit in. Eventually, I was called up into the Royal West Kent Regiment in Maidstone as a private soldier, and went on from there.
Why did you go to the Royal West Kent?
I don't know why I went. I think I was directed there. I don't think I asked for it. At no time during this period, up to when I was enlisted, did I express interest in being one thing or another. I took things as they came. I knew I'd be called up, and that was it.
And can you describe what happened then when you arrived at Maidstone?
Oh, I arrived at Maidstone by train. There were quite a few other people there, young men like myself, and we were taken by coach to Maidstone Barracks, the Royal West Kent Regiment headquarters. And from there we went on to a course of 3 months basic training.
Can you describe your training?
The training was, I thought, was excellent. I was always very impressed with the good officers and sergeants, warrant officers and NCOs. Most of the training instruction was given by NCOs who themselves had passed through the various stages. And
what did they train you in?
Trained me in as a rifleman. But I just did my duties and that was that.
And how did you take to military life?
What had to be, had to be. I always took the things as they came.
So does that mean you enjoyed it? Or
I don't think I enjoyed it. I think I accepted it. And I enjoyed the company. I enjoyed being with a load of other men.
And at the end of 3 months, after your basic training was completed, what happened to you?
I was sent to OCTU, Officers Training Corps, at Barmouth, Wales, on the coast.
How were you? What or why were you selected? For
I don't know. I noticed I always put myself into it. Whatever the circumstances were, in basic training and various other things, I always put myself right into it and worked hard at it. I enjoyed doing it well. I felt that if you're going to do something, do it well, and that's it.
So were you asked if you would like to do OCTU, or were you just told you're going to OCTU?
I was told I was going to OCTU, and that was that. There were no questions asked. The army that I came in contact with didn't ask questions, just gave instructions.
So you arrived at Barmouth, and what happened there?
I arrived at Barmouth. We were allocated local accommodation, houses of various people, and we met at the barracks, or I can't remember the detail of it. I think we met, I just can't remember what the central setting was like. But anyhow, we went there. We used to go there for training, and both physical and mental.
And what training tests did they put you through there?
Well, I found all sorts of training tests. I found I was much superior in knowledge and ability to most of the men, my friends, that I came in contact with. I always felt it was... I've always worked on the basis you do your best and you get the best results.
And
or in other words, if you reach for the moon, you get something higher than the gooseberry bush.
And at what stage were you told, yes, you're definitely going to be an officer?
We were there for about, I can't remember, six weeks or so. Or was it just about 6 weeks training? I'm just guessing that because I can't remember. And we were told we were allocated to which... We'd asked what regiment we wanted to go to. And I nominated the North Hampshire Regiment because I had some friends who lived around there and I thought I'd see them more frequently than I had been seeing them. And I arrived at the barracks in Northampton when I was commissioned, and I was handed a piece of paper in an envelope from either somebody in the office. It says, your train is at 9:50 tonight. You're off to where was it? Wherever it was, on the south coast, where the regiment was. He said that battalion.
This was the 5th battalion.
Christchurch.
This was the 5th battalion of the North.
5th battalion was at Christchurch. I don't know what battalion it was. It was just the Christchurch, the North Hampshire Regiment.
What date was this? We're still in 1941 at this stage.
1941-42.
And how closely...
41, I think, yes.
And how closely had you been following the progress of the war?
Oh, I followed it. I read about it every day and listened to discussions. I was very interested. My policy always has been that if you're going to do something, do your best.
And were
you reach for the moon, you get something high on the gooseberry bush.
And were you keen to get into the to the fighting itself? Or
no, I don't think I was. I don't think I was particularly keen. I don't think I was afraid. I think I just took things as they came.
So you joined your regiment at Christchurch.
Yes.
Can you describe how you as a platoon commander worked, what your daily life was there?
Well, daily life was basic training. And I can't think of anything special otherwise.
How did you find commanding soldiers?
I found that was all right. I didn't remember anything special about it, but I found it was all right. I wasn't highly critical of soldiers. I realised people's reactions always were according to circumstances. But I got on fairly well there. I think I had, I don't know if you want to write this one down, I think I had one point of interest where the CO of the battalion, he was in a brewery company, I can't remember, his family was in the brewery, Anstey, Colonel Anstey, was chatting with him in the officer's mess one evening, and he said, I've got a real difficulty at the moment. He said, I want to get some money from the bank and I haven't got a checkbook. And as I'd been studying secretarial practice pre-war in my studies, I said to him, you don't need a checkbook, Colonel. You can get a check, just write on a piece of paper, instructing your bank to give you the money. He said, you can't do that. I said, you can, and did. And once he'd done that, he sent around a message to all the companies, anybody has any difficulty with accounts, come to Lieutenant Grant.
And how did you get on with the rest of the officers in the battalion?
Oh, very well.
They were a good bunch, right?
Oh, yes. Quite a good bunch. We got on with it. So pleased that so many of them were with the company, with the battalion in North Africa, in Italy.
And did you know any of them before you had been posted there?
No. Only the ones who were up to with me, officer training.
And can we just have a sort of quick look at sort of infantry tactics and infantry training that you received? What was the level of training like?
I didn't think that the training was really as good as it could be. It was left very often to the individual company commanders who hadn't had a great deal of experience. They were regular soldiers, but they weren't experienced. The warrant officers seemed to me to be more experienced than the others. But in my case, in the North Hampshire Regiment in Christchurch, we simply went on training. Physical training was the most important, to keep yourself fit and ready for battle. I can't remember what we did otherwise.
But did you do platoon level training, tactical training?
Yes, we did.
And what did that involve?
I can't remember. Troops being sent out to various places and ambushes set up, map breeding set up, all sorts of things which interested, which would improve the application of the individual soldier.
And how long then were you at Christchurch for?
I can't remember. This expression, I can't remember, comes in too frequently. We were sent up, we were going to go to the invasion of Norway. That's a rumour we heard. Much of life was a rumour, was a question of rumour. For that purpose, we were going to go to Scotland and embark there. But anyhow, we were sent up to Scotland, and we all trained up there. We're entrained up to go there, and we're stationed around a lovely area. I forget the name of the, what was it called? Oh, I can't remember. Anyhow, it was a very nice piece of country, and the people were charming, and altogether it was quite successful. Colonel Anstey was taken away because he was quite old, relatively, and they didn't consider he would be a leader in a battle. And we had a new Colonel A.A. What the devil was his name? I'm trying to remember. Anyhow, he was a bit of a Tartar. He arrived in the mess one evening about 6 o'clock, walked up to the fireplace, poked his stick down there, said, "What's that?" Everybody in the mess looked around. What's sir? He said, "What's that?" "What, sir?" "That down there, that ashtray." He said, "Yes, sir, the ashtray." He said, "We empty them there in the front of the fire." He said, "Well, I don't want any more in my mess." This is how we started off.
So this was still in Scotland?
This was in Scotland, yes.
And then where did you move to?
Well, from Scotland, we went on various courses. We didn't move as a whole anywhere for quite some time. Eventually, we were taken further up north and trained on embarking and disembarking from boats. Presumably ready for an invasion.
And this was still in the expectation of going to Norway, or
yes, this was in 1942. What was it?
42.
Yeah, it must have been.
Okay. So you were in Scotland. You were undergoing training for
embarkation.
For assault invasion. Landings.
Yes.
What happened then?
Well, we weren't told where we were going. Obviously, we got ready. We were told that we were embarking. We were going to leave about such and such a date. I can't remember. Some 3 weeks before the North Africa landing, I think it was. And we'll find out where we're going when we get on board. And we all got on board. I was transport officer at the time, I recollect, yes, and carried out our exercises. The transport staff always worked with the infantry as infantrymen when they were not using their vehicles. And eventually we were put out to sea and kitted up with lightweight clothing. We were told we were going to North Africa.
So the first you knew was when you were at sea?
The first we knew was when we were at sea. And we were at sea for 3 weeks, if I remember. We went out into the North Atlantic Ocean for about 1,000 miles. Then we went quite a distance south. Then we came back from there and eventually to enable us to land in Algiers in October, was it November 1942. Can't remember the date. 2nd of November 1942.
And can you describe the landing?
Yes. On board ship, while we were waiting to land, while we were travelling, the troops trained plenty of vigorous exercises, and the vehicles were cleaned and stripped countless number of times, and the soldiers were quite cheerful. And you asked me a question?
Yes, can you describe the landing itself?
Well, the landing, I was on the ship with, in command of the transport, the senior transport officer on board. And when we came into land, I remember the ship coming down quite slowly, coming in, and Lieutenant Villis, V-I-L-L-I-S, said, come on, let's get on board and get on the shore. I said, no, wait. I don't know what it looks very turbulent underneath. He said, no, come on. And he jumped off, ready to go and land. And we never saw him again. Went under the water. And anyhow, we landed the ships. So no, there was no opposition to our landing. Well, there may have been to other units in other areas. We got all our transport and kit down and eventually went to our told where our point was, where we were to stay, and that's what we did.
So you disembarked and then regrouped.
Regrouped
in, inland.
That sounds much more like the army. You know, group ready to advance.
And what support did you have?
We had no transport for personnel. We had some American guns. British six-pounders commanded by American staff. Our own internal divisions were there as normal with their various weapons. It was unopposed, you see, the land. Therefore, there was no real difficulty. The next thing was that I remember as a personal effect, personal thing. The CEO called a bill, ordered a meeting, and ordered conference, and he said, we want to find somewhere to turn. We're going to have buses allocated to us for advance, and when we get to. Then we've got to try and get to Algiers. Or was it two? I can't remember where we had to get to at that time. And he sent me to go and with Dudley Emerton, who was a co-officer, infantryman. Dudley and I were allocated the job of going to find somewhere to see where the buses can turn around and we could be near enough Metz El Bab for attack on measures as soon as possible.
And what formation were the 5th Northants part of?
We were part of 78 Div. Eleven Brigade. Were we 11 Brigade? Heaven knows. Yes, I was 11 Brigade at that time. Northamptonshire were 11 Brigade.
And who were the other units in the brigade?
I can give them to you. Make a note of that on a piece of paper. I'll give it to you as a special.
Okay. And at this stage, had you worked at all with the gunners or
up
armour?
To this stage, we hadn't fired a shot in anger. And there was some gun shots were sent over, but I don't think there was anything really moving because there was no opposition. At least as far as I was concerned, I can't say what happened to other people, but as far as my division was concerned, my battalion was concerned, there was no opposition. Anyhow.
But had you been trained in how to cooperate with tanks and gunners?
Oh yes, we've had exercises with the various other forces. Gunners, the anti-tank regiment, the artillery, whatever was going to come along, we'd had training at it. What we hadn't had a great deal of training at was landing and knowing what to do with when we arrived, because the beaches are hardly existent, and they were restricted in not many places where you could land. Anyhow, let's see where we got to.
So you'd regrouped and you were preparing for the assault on Metz.
Metz El Bab. We took the we requisitioned a local car. There was a Frenchman. He had a car, and we said we requisitioned him to take us up to this off landing place, and he didn't want to go, but we insisted that he either went with us or we'd take his vehicle. and he drove us up to this place.